Oh, Tom.
What?
I feel like there should be fireworks and party snacks and people singing Auld Lang Syne.
It's not quite New Year yet, man.
I know, but it's the end of a console generation, Thomas.
Oh, yes, it is.
May old acquaintance be forgot and put in a box up the attic. I never brought to mind. We'll drink a cup of kindness here for the sake of PlayStation 4.
We can go nostalgic on you.
For Auld Lang Syne, my dear. For Auld Lang Syne.
Episode of Tom and Matt Attack, we look at the entire last console generation.
Tom and Matt Attack.
Okay, so where were we at the end of the one that preceded?
I believe I was singing Auld Lang Syne, which is where we were.
I was a firm supporter of the original Xbox.
I liked the original Xbox.
Yeah.
I did have one late in its lifespan, purely to play Halo 2.
Mm.
I'll be honest with you, I think I eventually got Knights of the Old Republic 1 and 2, and I did pick up Shenmue, but I never played it because the Xbox 360 came out.
Yes.
I had all the
continuing
consoles.
Continuing the groundwork that had been laid with the Xbox, with the online.
I was actually a big member of a community based around the, I don't know if it still exists, X360 magazine, which is a magazine published by Imagine, I think.
Hmm.
I know it is now, I think, but I don't know if it was then. I think it was under a different publisher and then merged.
Okay.
But like, I remember being on those forums as an excited 16-year-old boy, because that's how old I was when the Xbox 360 came out.
So that's where we begin. That was a milestone in the next generation. That was ushering in the new generation of video games that have been around for an awful long time.
It was.
This last console generation has gone longer than any other.
Yeah,
I think that's
definitely
fair to say. Yeah, there's no
without
doubt
a shadow
about
of a doubt. I remember, if I remember correctly, there was a thing posted, like even as far as a year back, saying if the original 360, if the 360 had been the Nintendo Entertainment System, we would already be in the N64, like and into the N64's lifespan.
It's crazy to think about that. Lifespan of console had never been that long.
It just blew my mind just now when I was thinking about it and like thinking back and saying like I was 16 like when this console was launched. And like I've had pets that have lasted less than these consoles, though admittedly I have gone through a few 360s.
Yeah, what can we say about the last generation and what it brought for gaming? It brought unsurpassed visuals, which I'm not surprised the console was around for so long. What they managed to achieve with the Xbox 360 and the PS3 have been phenomenal.
They have, you know, I mean, like, look at Beyond Two Souls. Like, it's photorealistic almost. And admittedly, it's like one of the later games on a console generation. And as we know, the later games will always look better than those released originally. And that kind of gives me hope for the PS4, because what we've been shown so far has been pretty stunning. So, like, imagine what it's going to be like 4 or 5 years down the line.
Yeah, and now they're starting together. They're both on the starting line.
They are, exactly. Together. There's no gap between them.
Whereas before, what do you remember the gap between the 360 and the PS3?
I remember the 360 came out in November of 2005. I remember that distinctly because I remember getting one.
And
PS3 launch Europe. I shall tell you through the magic of the internet.
And PS3
Tom.
Was a big deal for Sony, following on from the phenomenal success of the PS2. It was interesting to see the direction that they took. They were the PS3 to me always looked like, because it was a very long time till I actually got one, the multimedia system.
March 2007.
Yeah.
Was the launch of the PS3. Am I right in saying that? Because that means there was a whole year and a bit between the Xbox 360.
Yeah, I think that's correct, thinking back now. And so the PS3 had this shiny new... It was like, wow, this is kind of like another next generation, a little bit.
Definitely. I mean, Blu-ray player. Blu-ray being player.
That was something that wasn't in the...
In the Xbox, no. Mm. I mean, they even tried to back HD DVD.
They were very forward-thinking, definitely at that point, in stark contrast to what's happening now, really.
Definitely.
Because now the Xbox One's a multimedia system and the PS4's focusing on games more.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of interesting, really, right?
Yeah, I mean, how it switched.
Yeah, 2005, the Xbox was. God, I can't believe there was so long between those consoles. Like,
and let's not forget the Wii.
Oh, yeah, that's
when,
right.
When this was the Wii released?
The Wii was released, Thomas, I believe, in 2006. But I'm just going to look it up just to...
And the Wii ushered in another milestone.
November
in
16th, 2006. Yeah.
Generation.
It was the 8th of December in the UK. I remember it coming out in December because I'd saved up enough money to get it, but then wanted to do some stuff around Christmas and go on a college trip, and then I'd said to my mum and dad, I'll pay half of it. Can you pay the other half and get it for me for Christmas?
Whereas the Xbox 360 pushed online gaming to the next level.
Oh God!
What the Wii did was it brought families together, and people who'd never played games were playing games. This was a real movement.
I think the Wii kind of, like, for say what you will about the Wii, I'm not the biggest fan of the console. I think it had some great games.
Well, I'm an avid supporter.
You are, exactly, and this is kind of the nice contrast to this. And I'm not saying anything bad because it isn't a bad system. Mm. Like, in the grand scheme of things, it's not bad. But, like, I believe it kind of paved the way for apps and Facebook games and then the people that would then become Xbox 360 and PS3 owners. I think it kind of brought gaming back into the living room in a way that perhaps it hadn't been since the early 90s.
And that's where I probably enjoy gaming the most, in a social situation. And games like Wii Sports and Rayman Raving Rabbids. And there's many, the WarioWare Smooth Moves and such brought forward the motion controlling revolution.
To be honest, like, I was kind of a bit disappointed by it because, like, I'd had my 360 by this point for a whole year. Mm. And I was on my third 360. Like, I bought my 360, I played it once because there was a cock-up with my pre-order. And as a result, I got a launch console, but it was a core.
Hmm. Oh, yes. This is another thing to talk about, isn't it?
Different versions of consoles.
But continue.
Yeah, there was a cock-up with my pre-order, and therefore they could only offer me a core. And I went through the console so much that I took the core. I didn't realise my parents had taken a core, but, like, my mum and dad was just like, well, it's better to get him something than nothing. So I got a core. I took it home and, like, I realized that they got me a core and they said, oh, well, it's not the one you wanted, but it's okay. I was like, is it a core? And they was like, yeah, it's a core. And I was like, shit. So I got it and I had the memory card that we guffawed about a few weeks ago. And I was showing...
almost forgotten that the 360 had at one point used memory cards.
Yeah, I got one in the, got one over there, Tom. There's one in this house. And I played it and I played a bit of Call of Duty. Because all of the guys on the X360 forums were talking about playing it and stuff because they were a little bit older than I was and they'd actually bought their console themselves, yada, yada. And I played it and I was like, oh my God, this is it. This is the next generation.
When you put that comfortable controller in your hands, because let's not forget.
It is a pretty sexy controller.
The controller was,
I like you, the controller. And yeah, so I played it that once. Then Christmas Day. Opened it up, Santa brought it down the chimney for me, played it to death on Christmas Day, played it a bit on Boxing Day, went to Swansea to get some of the January sales, see if there's any deals on 360 games, and I picked up
Peter Jackson's King Kong.
I picked up Peter Jackson's King Kong. Damned reason. No, it's not a launch title.
Oh, sorry, I keep thinking it was.
And I picked up Tony Hawk's American Wasteland because I had Call of Duty, I had Cameo, and I may have had some... Oh, I had Amped 3 as well, which I loved, which is my, I believe, my favourite launch title. I loved Call of Duty 2, but yeah, it's really hard. I played it through on Veteran, and I got Tony Hawk Home, turned on the 360, Red Ring. 2 days already into me owning an Xbox 360 and Red Ring.
Was a big deal for 360 owners. Not just only at the beginning of the console's lifespan, but well into...
foreseeable future. Like, I just think it was a... There was a crazy, crazy failure rate. Like, 1 in 4, I believe, consoles of the original Xbox died.
And I worked at Game at this point, so I knew this problem very well.
So I had to take it back. So I took it straight back to HMV. Fortunately, they had a shipment in after Christmas, so I rang them up pretty much straight away and said, like, have we got any 360s in? They said, well, we've got some pre-orders on hold that we were going to ring out for. So I took someone's 360 away from them to get a new 360 because they just swapped it out. Because at this time, like, this is about a month into the console being launched. And so Red Ring was just starting to happen. I remember it was just starting to crop up on the internet. And I was the first one in this whole community of about a few hundred people who had a Red Ring.
The Red Ring of Death.
Red Ring of Death, my friend.
And there were different versions of the Red Ring. There was the 3-1.
Yeah, there was a 3-1.
Was that a thing you hadn't got a connection right in the back of your
machine? No, that was the one. That was the one red, which a lot of people freaked out once they started seeing the Red Ring of Death and saying they had it. But it was just they didn't plug their AV lead into the back. A few people on the forum did that, actually. I think Weeble, my friend, did it.
Yeah. The towel trick.
The towel trick. Oh, my God. Do you remember that? Yeah, I just wrap this really overheated console in a towel and it'll overheat.
It works again for a bit.
Yeah, it did. And then it just died a horrible death. But yeah, like I said, I'd had that. And then a few months down the line while playing Perfect Dark Zero, I had that as well. My console crapped out again, this time the disc reader, and all I could really play was Hexic. Because by this point I'd got a hard drive and it came on the hard drive. And then as a result of this, I then gave the console back again and then got my third console, which lasted for a very long time. So I'd had my share of strife with the 360 and the Wii came out. I remember being super pumped. I bought Zelda, Twilight Princess, and I bought Red Steel. I played it for all of half hour, both games.
Really? You were put off with the motion control.
I hated the motion control.
Yeah.
I felt like such an asshole. Like, after being able to...
You should have just bought Zelda on the GameCube.
Yeah, I should have. Honestly, like, my mate Andrew had it and he played it to death and he was like, oh, have you got it this bit? No, I was like, no, because I feel like an idiot.
I've got it on the Wii.
Like, I couldn't play it in my room because I didn't have enough space.
You had to stand up?
Yeah.
To play it?
I thought I did.
You didn't even.
No, I know I didn't. But, like, the game was telling me I should stand up and the instructions when I first plugged in my Wii told me, like, you need a clear area with lots of space.
You need to get your wrist strap on. Yeah. The original wrist straps, which weren't as secure as later wrist straps. Yeah.
And yeah, like I just was just like, okay, this is shit. Put it away in a box almost pretty much straight away.
Oh, what a tragedy.
New Year's Eve came around and we played a bit of Wii Sports and I kind of warmed to it a little bit. But I was honestly in that craze to
get the Xbox 360.
Yeah, like I had online gaming. I had
That's what you wanted.
I had downloadable indie titles at the time, like Xbox Live things. Admittedly, they were few and far between, but like I could see that I could do this. And admittedly, like Nintendo eShop was there. Was it called? Was it Wii?
Virtual Console?
Virtual Console was there, and I bought Gunstar Heroes, and I bought a classic
that
controller.
Was a very exciting time when Virtual Console games started coming thick and fast.
Yeah.
And all these classic games are being given a new lease of life on the Wii.
Yeah.
It was a selling point for me, I remember.
Oh, definitely for me as well. Like, I bought a few titles like I'd always wanted to play, like Gunstar Heroes.
Yeah. And the library is so comprehensive. You compare it now to what's available on the Wii U.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's laughable.
I don't even check the Wii U marketplace. Because I
NES
just know...
and Super Nintendo.
Yeah, exactly. Great.
Come on, get on it.
Oh, God. It's just like, you've got a lot of these games emulated in your Wii already. How hard can it be to make them run on the...
They're drip feeding us the game, so we buy them, so we're not overloaded with stuff, I think.
Yeah, perhaps. But I went back to my 360. The PS3 was a shining glimmer.
Yeah, it's like this beast on the horizon.
Yeah.
This very cool looking black, massive shiny thing.
Yeah, that I did Photoshop of to make look like a George Foreman grill.
Oh dear, you were an Xbox fanboy.
I was. I was a 16-year-old man. Like I said, there was a whole community around it. And yeah, like in a way I'd never been, because like I'd always loved my Super Nintendo over my mates who all had Mega Drives. But like I never gone out of my way to say like, oh, your Mega Drive's crap or whatever.
Yeah.
I didn't really with the PS3. Like we didn't. I wasn't one of these kids going on forums and making fun of people for liking PS3s. Like,
no.
But I still was doing hilarious Photoshops with my Photoshopping skills, which, yeah.
For me, I wasn't playing either of these consoles.
You weren't? You didn't get a next-gen, in inverted commas, console for a long, long time?
No, right? Not until I bought a pre-owned Wii, which was well into the Wii's lifespan as well. For me, I'd made the conscious decision to buy Nintendo again.
Right.
I think I was turned off by first person shooters in the Call of Duty craze. And it didn't interest me at all.
Because that wasn't a big thing to start, man. Like you.
But for me, when I started thinking about the Xbox, I don't think.
When were you working in game from?
I was working when they were still selling PS2s.
Okay. So. Yeah, but they sold PS2s for a long time. Like,
well, before the Xbox was out.
Were you there for the Xbox 360 launch?
Yeah, I was.
Wow.
Yeah.
God, I was still. I just left school then.
Mm. But for some reason, I wasn't that interested.
Okay.
Interesting. Maybe I was slightly turned off games, or maybe I was going through my retro phase. Well, it's not a phase.
Yeah, much, exactly.
But, I'd maybe purchased my Japanese Saturn and was purchasing a lot of Japanese Saturn fighting games. And getting into Mega Drive.
God. I remember I could pick up like Super Nintendo titles. I could buy Secret of Mana for like £4 back then. Buy a box copy of Terranigma for £12. Oh, God, those were the days.
I imagine I was still at that point playing GameCube socially quite heavily. Fantastic multiplayer console.
A lot of my friends were still playing Smash Bros. Melee, but it didn't really interest me that much.
I was playing Mario Kart.
I played Time Splitters with friends and a bit of Double Dash, but like that was it, because they didn't jump on board with the next gen consoles in the way I did. I think my friend Andrew got a Wii, but like none of them really had 360s.
A big part of it, me, was price as well. The Xbox was quite expensive, and so eventually when the PS4 came out, it was even more PS3 was even more expensive. I stuck with Nintendo, and I bought the Wii, and I remember my first Wii game with New Super Mario Brothers Wii. That's
really?
When I got my Wii.
Wow.
When that game came out. Yeah.
God. Yeah, that must have been well into the console's lifespan then. That was like, I was working in Morrison's at the time, so that would have been like, what, 4 years ago, maybe?
Mm.
I already had the console. It's 2013 now. I'd already had the console then for like 3 years, the time you got into it then, which means that I had my Xbox for 4.
I did one brief experience with the Xbox 360. My next door neighbour bought one not long after its release and lent it me for a weekend. It was after Dead or Alive came out, because I had Dead or Alive and Peter Jackson's King Kong for a weekend.
Yeah, nice.
I have to say, I enjoyed both. I thought it was pretty cool.
But King Kong gets a bad rep. I don't think it's a bad game. I just think it's a bit too short.
It was immersive, and it didn't have an on-screen HUD.
It didn't.
Did it?
No, it was good.
Which kind of made it feel more like a movie.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Anyway, getting off the point here. Where should we move this to now?
I guess we should really talk about the games. I mean,
I think that's a good topic.
of course, we are a video gaming podcast after all, but like, what for you was the highlight? Like, what do you, when you look back on this console generation, do you think that you will remember? Because I mean, like, I look back on GameCube and PS2 and the Xbox, as in the Xbox bringing me multiplayer games, online multiplayer games, the GameCube bringing the four player experience to my living room more so than the N64 had. I don't know why, but it was just kind of, I'd had GoldenEye experiences and I'd played some Bomberman, but it was a key thing of it. And also, actually, my first online multiplayer was with the GameCube, actually. I played Phantasy Star Online. And the PS2 just bringing a wealth of titles that I wouldn't have probably had access to. A lot more JRPGs seemed to be out on the PS2.
Mm.
And obviously the first person shooter had kind of started as a console thing. Like I remember Half-Life coming out and just being like, oh shit, you can play first person shooters on console now. Like I remember obviously like Doom and stuff before that, but it's never something I'd personally associated consoles with.
So what were the games that defined the Xbox 360 to begin with, would you say?
What, at launch, do you reckon?
Well, I don't think there was anything at launch which really... Until Gears of War.
I held seriously high hopes for Cameo, and I remember really liking it, but I think maybe that was just kind of like the same thing I probably will feel for Knack in a couple of years.
Mm.
Just kind of like, yeah, this isn't a bad game, but it didn't really do anything revolutionary. It was supposed to be a GameCube game, for God's sake. Like, Perfect Dark really didn't do anything but destroy my memories of a beloved N64 game.
Would you say Gears was a defining point in the Xbox 360?
Oh, definitely. Like,
and I can't remember when exactly that came out, again, because I wasn't quite... I was working, I was selling the games, but yeah.
I'd say about 2007. I think I was like a year or two into the console.
It was,
Because I remember Call of Duty was the big thing.
Call of Duty 2.
How I remember it was Call of Duty 2 was the first real online game that we played and kind of started a small clan around. Then I remember Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter coming out, which is one of the first spurts of Tom Clancy games on that gen.
There was Rainbow Six.
Yeah, that came later, though.
What about Splinter Cell?
Splinter Cell Double Agent out, I think, around the same time as well. But Gears of War wasn't until a while into it, because I remember like on this forum I used to go on, we had... It was like, all of us just played together to start with. We all had like a big clan. It was just kind of us just playing for a laugh. And then we kind of split off into little groups within the forums, and we all had our own clans, and we were all playing in like a clan league table kind of thing that no one was really taking seriously. Some were, but not overly. But I remember by that point of Gears of War that we were playing Gears and we were playing Modern Warfare 4.
Oh, that is... Call of Duty 4, Modern Warfare was out.
Yeah, Modern Warfare was out, I think so. I'm pretty sure.
Okay. It's so hard, isn't it, to think back, because this was an awful long time ago.
It is. Like, that's why it makes Games for Gold even more bloody laughable this month.
Yeah, give you Gears of War.
Thank you for Gears of War, Microsoft. I'm sure nobody's owned a copy of that.
I think there was a point in a game where you could get it for next to nothing.
I think you could still get it for next
I think my copy
nothing.
Of Gears of War cost me a quid or something. I did have a staff discount. No, I got it for free. Someone gave it me. They just didn't want it anymore.
Oh, actually, it was 2006. It was a year after the console was released.
They said I could have Gears of War, and long before I ever owned an Xbox.
Really? Was it because there was that many copies traded in, do you reckon?
Yeah, this was way into what way
I remember
long after
buying Steel Tin. I remember that being a big thing. I bought the Steel Tins with the art book of Gears of War. Like, that was one of the first collector's editions I think I owned.
Yeah.
Like, when they started really becoming a thing.
And what Gears of War did for gameplay, I think, it took what had already been established in Resident Evil 4, the over the shoulder. Third person shooter.
Yeah.
And took that as a template and developed this sci-fi bloodbath of a game around that idea. But made it squad based, and that was the big thing about Gears.
Holy shit.
Know?
Like, it's
you were a team of guys.
It says something about Gears, because I distinctly remember playing it around the time of Call of Duty 4, but I'm probably confusing that with Halo 3.
Okay.
Because Call of Duty came out a year later, but I distinctly remember playing them both at the same time. Like, so I must have still been playing Gears like a year after it came out, which when you think about like online games now, that's like a shelf life of a year.
There wasn't as much about
game.
That's the thing, wasn't it? There wasn't so many games, not of that quality at least.
No.
And nowadays, there's so many games of a very high standard.
This is true. Like, multiplayer definitely became a thing. I think Xbox 360 pushed online gaming. I think that's the core of that console.
Also, not only competitive online gaming, but co-op.
Indeed. Yeah, co-op online. Now, I completed all three Gears of War with the same guy. Hello, Gav.
Hello, Gareth. I completed Gears of War 1 with you. But we started to, but we never finished it. We ended up playing Resident Evil 5.
I like Resident Evil 5. Don't follow the Resident Evil series.
I think 6 was.
No, six was just the kicking a dead dog.
Five's a fun game.
But like, yeah.
Anyway, like, let's talk about like, Gears and the idea of the bros together and the characters. And that was quite exciting for the time, wasn't it?
I think so. Like, you know, you just like big roider dudes. And you had a gun with a chainsaw. Like the first time I chainsaw killed someone online.
Marcus Phoenix. Who was
and
the other dude?
Dom.
Yeah. Dom.
Yeah, it's all you know him as. He's got a surname, but just because Marcus going Dom. Dom. Yeah. Oh God. Like, so much time spent playing these games. Like, I can't even think. Like, playing Halo 4 online a couple of times, like. Mm. But multiplayer is a big thing of this generation, I think, for me, and it was one of the things I didn't really take to the PS3 for a long time because
I never really played my PS3 online.
Neither did I. I think it was probably Microsoft's clever idea of putting a headset in the box.
Yeah,
I think, you know, it was all ready to go almost. All you had to do was pay your live subscription, which at the time, there was no alternative from Sony. They were just giving you free online, admittedly, but the service wasn't as good, so people didn't really mind playing for gold.
The Xbox one.
Yeah. God. Just thinking, like, but as we were talking about earlier, like, this was kind of the Call of Duty generation. Mm. It was a thing you said, like, this is the generation of Call of Duty, this idea of everyone playing with their friends online and like.
And Call of Duty was the game to play with friends. This was the game everyone was playing.
Still is. I'd argue perhaps it's in the decline now, but it's still probably the most popular game franchise outside of like FIFA and Madden.
Mm. But Halo was a strong
Halo was definitely a strong competitor. Like, I remember online. Playing Halo 3 a lot online, yeah. And I remember just the options of them, of Bungie thinking about like how people were going to play online together and having the service tags. You could all have your same service tag and customization options, your characters.
An exciting time. I think before that, in terms of console gaming, what did we have? We had Quake 3 Arena on the Dreamcast. I don't know if that could be compared to these. Of course, yes, it was like a built upon with the Xbox and playing Halo 2 online and such. But that became a big thing, the shooter. And we made a little list of all shooters that got released over the last generation. These franchises are still running, like Killzone. Yeah. Began on the PS2, continued on with the two sequels in the PS3 era.
And was one of
the defining games. I think Killzone 2 was probably one of the defining games of the PS3 at the time.
Yeah, I'd say that. Like, I hated Killzone 1 and I still bought Killzone 2 and I really disliked it. Still.
And then Sony used Killzone again when they introduced their motion controller, the PlayStation
Move. They did, yeah.
Which I have to say, that's a game I played quite a lot of.
You've said, yeah.
And a very enjoyable experience. The PlayStation Move remote, which we haven't talked about yet, which was Sony's answer to the Wii remote.
The Wii remote, yeah.
Really improved on the concept of the Wii remote by making an even more accurate motion controller that used the PlayStation Eye. So you could, it could register depth.
Yeah.
Which worked amazingly well. And Killzone was a great showcase for it.
Is now integrated into the PS4 and the Xbox One. Like, I doubt this facial recognition stuff. Admittedly, Microsoft made milestones with its Kinect.
Mm.
But I think a lot of these functionality of the Move, like, is in the PS4 controller now with that big light on the back, and that's how you sync your controllers now to these consoles, is with these lights and the motion sensor.
They did a great job of updating the motion control concept from what Nintendo had already well established with the Wii.
Yeah.
But moving back to our first-person shooter list here, we had the PlayStation 3 also brought in the Resistance franchise.
Something I've never played, I'll be honest. Never really interested me.
When I got a PS3, again, this was way down the line, long after I got an Xbox as well. I persuaded my dad to get on because I said it was a Blu-ray player.
The PS3 was the last console I got. I got it when I was in university. I bought it because it's a Little Big Planet, actually, was the reason. But carry on.
One we'll touch on later. But Resistance was an enjoyable shooter made by Insomniac, who had previously been most famous probably for Ratchet and Clank, although they actually had an early history with first-person shooters.
Really?
There's one on the PS1. which I can't remember the name of. I did pick it up recently.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So they weren't just the Ratchet and Clank developer. There was Haze, which was developed by the the studio that was formed from some X-Rare staff.
I can't remember. Oh,
oh my God. And the studio that in this last generation collapsed.
Oh, God damn it. They were working on Battlefront 3.
They were.
They did Timesplitters. Oh, God, Free Radical.
Free Radical. Thank God we remembered that.
I remember at the time, because like this was pre-Call of Duty Haze came out. I remember Halo Killer was the phrase.
Really?
Back then.
I remember Haze came out later than that.
Did it?
Yeah.
You sure?
Call of Duty 4.
Well, like, yeah. I mean, like, Call of Duty wasn't the established thing it was. Modern Warfare made it, but, like,
yeah.
I remember the
one of the defining games of last generation.
Do you remember every first-person shooter that came out was being called a Halo Killer?
Mm.
Do you not remember that? That was a big thing, like, people were saying, like, Resistance, Greek, Halo Killer.
Well, Haze wasn't, and it was many games such as the amazing... technically impressive Rage.
Yeah.
Which...
By ID, right?
Yes, and Raid was going to be the new Doom, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, it's from ID, and
it was a clever game that combined first-person shooting with the racing as well.
Yeah.
The buggy stuff is a lot of fun. It was a very well-made game. It failed terribly.
Yeah.
People were buying... Why were people buying Rage originally? A lot of people bought Rage at the beginning.
Because it was
hype. And then they all traded it in.
Hype to crack, right? It's been like the best first-person shooter. And they like had really good visuals. There was like a boomerang that did some cool stuff.
Good game. But I think maybe what I remember was we bought in too many copies of Rage.
Yeah.
That game, at least, when I was working there. And Rage wasn't... Maybe that was it. Maybe not that we were selling it. We just had a lot of copies.
Yeah. Oh, it's an ID game. Like it on paper, it should have been very popular. But
the flop that was Brink, which was a like a bit of a mess of a game. I remember watching Blast Processor and Mike play Brink.
I never played it. Like
some troubles online, and it wasn't quite ready straight away. And
I hated that idea that I was paying for an online only game.
Yeah,
I fell into the trap with Shadowrun, which is another like, because Shadowrun for me was I was aware of the D&D style tabletop steampunk game and the novels that surrounded it and the Genesis and the Super Nintendo games, and I bought it going like, yeah, it's gonna have some real depth to it. And it was just a shooter, but with like, instead of classes, you were different races and they had abilities. And it was fun. But, oh God, yeah. So, like, I stayed well clear of Brink.
Yeah. There were one of the more successful multiplayer first-person shooters, the survival horror first-person shooter hybrid that was Left 4 Dead.
Yeah, definitely. Well, like Valve, you know, like it speaks for itself. Like I know people who've played it on the PC, you prefer it on the PC because all the cool customization and mods and stuff you could do to it.
That was a big game.
That was a solid game. Like,
and its sequel, too.
Yeah, definitely. Left 4 Dead 2 was brilliant, too. I mean...
But one game I even found too hectic, too full-on for my liking. It got incredibly stressful.
Okay.
When all those zombies were was falling on you.
Do you reckon? Like,
I couldn't. I played it with Gareth, my friend Gareth online, which played a lot of games with him, and we struggled.
That's why it's so fun. Like, that's the thing. Like,
so difficult.
It's just four of you. Just you run in and gun in. Like, it's an adrenaline packed game. You know, like, admittedly, like in Halo, you just go, like, oh, I died. But like, dying means something because you're letting people down, and you need to survive because you don't respawn.
That's right. And of course Halo was still about, and I think for me at least Reach was
I would wholeheartedly agree. I really don't care about Halo 4 if I'm being honest. Like, I haven't played it online very much.
Yeah. Reach even brought me, a gamer who wasn't so into first person shooters. I stayed away from Call of Duty because I just wasn't interested in the real world setting, and it really turned me off.
Really?
I don't own a Call of Duty game. A single one. Never have.
Never have.
Actually, I did. I bought Call of Duty Modern Warfare.
I just saw that you had Black Ops on your PS3.
No, I didn't have it. I played Tycho's copy. Ah, okay. It's a flatmate of mine. Yeah. What was I going to say? Yeah, I had Call of Duty Modern Warfare on the Wii. I tried it out.
Yeah.
But when I found out its trading value was obscenely high, I traded it in for something that was more up my alley. Fair I can't enough. Remember exactly what it was. But Halo Reach was a game. I love the fantasy setting of the Halo games. And just the quality of that game was undeniable.
Without a shadow of a doubt, my favourite... No, actually, I tell a lie. There is a game I prefer multiplayer-wise, but not... I think Halo Reach is probably the best multiplayer game.
I loved Firefight myself. That's something I played a lot.
Firefight was brilliant. I love Team Deathmatch. I love playing with friends and kicking people's asses and like the assassinations and the fact you could have jetpacks and active camo. Like, it was so many nice touches on it.
Mm.
And for me, it like perfectly capped off Halo.
Yeah, it did. It didn't. It's like Halo Ultimate.
Yeah, it is. Like, I still don't think 4 surpassed it, even though it borrowed some ideas and did improve on some stuff. Like, it never beat Reach in my eyes. Like, I never felt the same awe as when I was playing Reach.
Reach did have a single-player campaign, which I actually quite enjoyed, the idea of having your own unique Spartan, but I guess it's not as known for its single-player as its multiplayer.
I really like ODST, which is a game a lot of people hate, but I honestly, I really
the
enjoy...
The in-between...
I enjoy not playing as a Spartan. I enjoy, like, for some reason, it like the night scene at the start and like how everything kind of goes futuristic. Kind of reminds me a bit of Blade Runner, just how you're kind of going through this trash city, even though it's nothing to do with Blade Runner.
I actually liked in Reach being your own guy.
Yeah,
you know, a unique Spartan.
Own Spartan, yeah, rookie.
Yeah. Whereas the Master Chief story, I wasn't really in. I played Halo 1, Halo 2, or 3.
I even read the books between Halo 1 and
3. I know, it's a very popular story, but I never really got into it.
It's not a great story, in all fairness. Like, it's not that. That's not what you're there for. Yeah. It's the gameplay.
But that seems to be what's continuing Halo, isn't it? It's follow the continuing adventures of Master Chief.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, and that's what the only... Because they can't go anywhere in gameplay after
Reach.
No,
they can't.
Particularly.
No, I don't. Yeah. Like,
so if you want more of the same, but you want to see what happens to Master Chief, then Halo will continue.
Exactly.
It will still sell.
Other than the first-person franchises for online play, like, there's some games that try to make first-person games more appealing to those who weren't interested in them. There was co-op games like Borderlands, which... Yeah. Kind of tied in little bits of MMO with the first person shooter genre.
It developed, didn't it? That first person shooter online multiplayer with a game like Borderlands. It really did.
It did. It had like depth to it almost and like humor, and it was very self aware of itself. Mm. And it was fun to play because of that. Obviously, you had Valve released their Orange box as well this generation, which included the massive hit on PC, Team Fortress 2, which is a very fun game to play on the console, though admittedly it doesn't have the depth that its PC brother has.
Mm.
But included in there as well was Portal, which is a first-person perspective, at least. It's a first-person puzzler rather than a first-person shooter, but you're firing... A portal gun instead of bullets to solve puzzles and stuff. And I think
Portal's popularity was proven when Portal 2 got released and was a success.
Portal 2's fantastic.
To say that Portal could stand alone as its own game
it
and not supported by Half-Life.
Well, yeah, like it didn't on the PC. It was just part of the Orange Box. It was just like, hey, here's some great games. And they all were. Like... Orange Box is a solid bundle. It's got Half-Life, it's got Episodes 1 and 2, and then it's got Team Fortress and Portal to back it up. Like, solid purchase for, I think it was even like £40 at the time. I don't think it was like as 50. I don't think it was a full price.
I remember
it was a little bit budget.
Taking my copy of Orange Box, and I was a bit disappointed it was in a green box.
Yeah.
So I got my DVD copy of Monsters, you know that film?
Yeah.
Which was in an orange case.
Box. I put it
and
in
I
there.
Swapped the two.
Ah, clever boy.
Yeah. But there were great other games which weren't driven by multiplayer. We're still on the subject of first-person shooters. You just see how popular they were.
It was
genre.
A short...
And we'll mention quick There was, of course, probably the maybe the greatest single-player first-person shooter, story-wise, may have been Bioshock.
Bioshock, for its mechanics as well. Yeah. Like, the depth of that world of Rapture being absolutely beautiful. Bioshock 2 perhaps not having the same kind of depth for some people, because Bioshock is a game that has twists and it comments on how you are playing games. Mm. And that was kind of... I never remember a game doing that before it. Maybe Metal Gear kind of had hints of it, but never like this for me. Like, it kind of pointed the gaping holes in video games. And then Bioshock Infinite kind of did as well, but it got to the point with Bioshock Infinite, I think, where the gameplay actually was kind of uninteresting compared to the story, because it was just kind of going through the motions of, hey, here's a plot point, you've got to kill a lot of people to get to the next plot point. Mm. And it kind of became a bit jarring that they were making these comments about games and how we play games, but then had their own constraints of the genre trapping them in it. But it's very interesting nonetheless. Like, I think it's a very interesting series, and I think if you haven't played Bioshock, you really need owe it to yourself to play all three.
Yeah.
Because Bioshock 2, underrated in my opinion, very good game. Still set in the world of Rapture that perhaps maybe I didn't need to explore, but I enjoyed it all the same.
And let's not forget a couple of the first-person shooters which probably weren't as popular as the likes of Bioshock or Halo, Killzone. Singularity was a good game. I've played that on the PS3.
I wanted to play it. I've picked it up for the 360. I still haven't got around to it, but I will at some point.
But I think it's quite easy to overlook some of the other first-person shooters because of the quality of some of the most popular ones. But I think another game of quality, Metro, was rather popular.
Metro is very good.
And I played that for a bit. It didn't grab me in the same way Singularity did, but I know it's highly regarded.
Yeah, from what I've played of Metro 2033, it was good. Here Last Light's great. I mean, we're speaking of games that were completely overlooked by a lot of people. Mirror's Edge. Fantastic free-running first-person game.
Another standout, I'd say probably mostly because of how bright it was in comparison.
Definitely,
to,
like, visually stunning game.
Yeah, there was a time when video games, I think more at the beginning, were of this last generation. Brown.
Yeah, definitely.
Resistance Fallen Man was grey.
Everything
really
was grey and brown, yeah.
Grey and brown. Gears of War was guilty of being incredibly...
All of the Call of Duty games were definitely grey, black and brown. Like, even, like, some of the environments in Halo, like, were guilty of, like, you'd go through a lush forest and then you'd go into a grey area, like a temple, and it'd just be grey.
Yeah, there was a lot of that, and I know it was much talked about at the time. I think, actually, and then Mirror's Edge came along and it was such a breath of fresh air.
And from EA, no less. Yeah. Like, EA were kind of pushing this idea of new things. And
it looked fresh and it felt fresh.
It felt fresh. Like, admittedly, some of the gameplay mechanics and what they were trying to achieve were perhaps not the greatest. Like, but I still think it's a good game.
That feeling of the free running.
The feeling of speed.
Speed. Height as well, as you were jumping across rooftops and performing acrobatic maneuvers in a first-person perspective, which was quite fresh and new. So the first-person genre of video games was, well used in the last generation, shall
definitely
we say.
But I mean, I think that alongside Mirror's Edge, and admittedly a kind of marked the death of the survival horror for me, but Dead Space was released. They were kind of part and parcel as two new franchises from EA that year.
Dead Space.
And admittedly, like, it was one of these things that was released last generation that I believe was a very strong start and then kind of got confused as to what it wanted to be as it went further on.
Kind of like Resident Evil.
Kind of like Lost Planet, which is another great game. It's very arcadey, very old school to start with, like, not very story based, and some fun online multiplayer where you're in robots and you're blowing the crap out of people with giant shotguns on mechs. And then all of a sudden it became a squad-based game because everyone was playing online with each other. And then like the third one, I don't recognise it as a Lost Planet game. There's hardly any robots and mechs and stuff in it. And yeah.
But still one I'm quite interested in seeing what they've done with it. I'm intrigued to play it because of my love of the first one. Story-wise, it's got a very unique story, which is not always what you find in majority of video games.
No, it's true.
But yeah, you touched upon the third person genre of games, which we've already
third person action kind of.
We've already covered Gears of War.
Yeah, it was a genre I thought was getting a bit stale, to be honest.
Yeah,
I remember you saying I didn't play a lot of third person action games just because I didn't like them. Like,
can we say maybe the game that brought you back into it? It's definitely not Space Marine.
Oh, God, no, definitely not.
Okay, but maybe Shadows of the Damned?
Shadows of the Damned, definitely. Like, Shadows of the Damned is just a shining example of, like, a genre I'd kind of given up on. Admittedly, I think it was because of me playing a lot of first-person shooters at the time and kind of growing stale with first-person shooters as well. And I'd already not really played any of the third-person action games that generation. And just kind of wanted a change. But, like, the action in Shadows of the Damned and, like, the humour and the Suda51 quirkiness of it was just kind of a great gameplay experience. Like, yeah. It didn't take yourself serious.
As well. There was something incredibly appealing about the world that was created and the characters of Shadows of the Damned, backed up by some incredibly solid and enjoyable gameplay.
Definitely. Garcia fucking Hotspur, for example.
It was a perfect marriage of imagination and enjoyable shooting.
Yeah, like, you just have to take it with a pinch of salt. Like, a lot of people like the gun being called Johnson and then turning into a big boner and all this kind of stuff.
We're the audience for that, I guess. And exactly. I know we're not alone in that, but I think a few critics seem to be a bit snotty about Shadows of the Damned.
I think so, because of those very reasons, yeah.
And that's a real shame, that they just can't just turn off their brains for the duration of the game and enjoy what is a massively original, entertaining, and, dare I say it, one of the greatest experiences of the last console generation for me.
I believe so, for me as well. Like, and I mean, it's not alone. Like, to be honest with you, some of the highlights of Last Gen for me are third-person games.
Mm. Remember Me was one, wasn't it?
Remember Me, yeah. Visually beautiful, perhaps not gameplay-wise. El Shaddai is an example of me being completely bowled over by visuals in a game in a way that I am yet to be since. Like, I really like Remember Me, but El Shaddai just twists and turns things so much, and it's got so much variety in how it looks, and it almost looks like a watercolor painting at some points. It's just beautiful. You just want to stop and like appreciate some of the visuals sometimes. I was taking pictures on my phone, I remember.
Yeah.
I was just like, I can't believe this game looks this good.
If we were giving awards for some of the best visuals for this last gen,
El Shaddai, no question.
I was
going to
say it's one of your nominees, but you.
No, it's all flat out. Like, it is a stunning game that was completely overlooked, probably because of its pseudo-religious subject matter. Mm. But it's just a fantastic.
Let's not forget things like Vanquish as well.
Vanquish is very nice, yeah. Like, some of the mechanics in Vanquish are also very good. Like, it's this feeling of pace and
speed,
just bolting around on your ass, like sliding around and doing stuff.
It stood out. Also, Bayonetta was another standout third-person action game.
An actual game by Platinum I enjoyed.
Yeah, both Bayonetta and Vanquish, Platinum games.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, God, like, it's just, they're very good. Like, Bayonetta, perhaps a little bit too long, I would argue.
Okay.
Which is my only constraint with the game. But, yeah, like, it's fun to play. It picks up where Devil May Cry 4 lacked for me.
Yeah.
And I didn't get a chance to play DMC.
Neither did I. I actually played a demo of it, and it didn't do it for me.
I hear there's a very interesting sequence in that where you go into the TV screen of a news broadcast. And so you're running around like an on-scene thing of the news broadcast while they're talking about it. And then you kind of like, it cuts to the, you know, like you have like infographics in news bulletins. Yeah. So you're like, your platforms become the news bulletin things and stuff. So it seems very cool, but I didn't get a chance to play it. But I've heard it's one of those games you either love or you hate.
I mean, Ninja Theory have done well in its last console generation with Heavenly Sword. Was it a launch for PS3 or was it an early title?
It was an early title. Early title.
A game that I missed out on, but actually I played Enslaved, which is well worthy of a mention.
Yeah.
A colossal flop, but one that was adored by critics at the time and is definitely worth playing.
Yeah.
Other ones, third person wise, we have to mention Tomb Raider, one of the more recent really released games, but fantastic.
A game I don't think though we would have if not for the Uncharted series.
Oh, Jesus, we haven't even mentioned Uncharted.
We haven't mentioned Uncharted. I would also argue it owes a lot to Assassin's Creed also.
Oh my God.
See, it's just, there's so many, like, this is the length, the console generation.
And we're finding it quite difficult to cover everything here because it is so epic.
It is an undertaking, yeah.
We're talking about third-person action games. You can't talk about that without talking about Batman,
exactly.
Arkham Asylum and Arkham City.
Exactly. Like, it's just such a, like...
Dead Rising.
Dead
and
Rising
sequel, Dead
also?
Rising 2, and the one of the greatest pieces of downloadable games... content. Case Zero.
Case Zero, yeah.
A great little nutshell of, package of, it's a short game, but one that just totally grabs you. It did me anyway. It was one of the first games I had on my Xbox. I love the bite-sizedness of Case Zero.
Yeah, like I bought the original Dead Rising and I remember liking its quirkiness and
but it had many flaws, like the saving.
It did have many flaws. Like trying to read on a 17-inch TV, those little messages you get from that caretaker were impossible. I had to look at guides and stuff to see what the hell it was saying.
At the time. I think it was similar with Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts.
It was.
As well. The HD gaming had arrived and not everyone had HD TVs.
No. He did not.
Unlike now, where consoles aren't even included with a AV cable.
No,
nowadays.
Everything comes with the HDMI this gen. But like, just to go back, because we kind of skirted over everything, like Uncharted, I believe, is a game that really kind of took this
wowed
whole
everyone.
Idea of having cinematic gameplay experience
with
some solid third-person action and kind of like putting story or trying to at least at the center of things. And like looking back now as retrospective look, especially after playing The Last of Us, which Naughty Dog kind of used to almost pick apart their own work, I guess. Mm. Like the fact of the matter is like Nathan Drake's supposed to be a lovable little rogue Indiana Jones style character for the modern age who is going into these tombs and stuff and finding adventure and his fortune and all this kind of stuff. And I admittedly haven't played the later games in the series. I played a bit of 2 and I never played 3. But it was just this idea of it was even now, like when I was playing it at the time, I was just kind of like, oh my God, I just got to kill all these people to get to the next bit of the story. And then The Last of Us kind of deals with that in a way that, mild spoiler for the next minute while I talk about this, there's a section in The Last of Us where you run into a gang of people and they essentially want to kill you. And you're just like, well, why the hell do you want to kill me? What have I done? And it's just like, you slaughtered all of our friends. Like, we sent people into town and you killed them all. Where the fuck did you kill our friends? And it's a thing that, like... it's very conscious of that it's trying to be a cinematic experience, but like Bioshock, perhaps hampered by the gameplay. Spoiler over, Assassin's Creed is another franchise, though,
I believe
Tomb Raider owes a lot to. That, to be honest, when the first game was released, I wasn't really impressed with
it.
It's very repetitive gameplay. The climbing and the free running mechanics are nice, but like, didn't really do anything new that I... was just kind of like, this is an alright game. Like, once I'd done one assassination mission, I'd done it all. The main character was incredibly unlikable, despite what the later games then made you like Altair. At the time, he's just a bit of an asshole. Mm. Like, you nearly all die at the start of the game because you just kind of like, ha, I'll do whatever I want. I'm an amazing assassin. And then you played as Ezio Auditore in Assassin's Creed 2. And for me, still one of the standout games of the last generation. it's just a fun game, and it kind of got everything right. It was aware that it was supposed to be fun to play this game, and it wasn't supposed to be just meaningless repetitive tasks, and it introduced new ideas to that game. And like I said, Ezio was just an enjoyable character that you wanted to see what happened to him. And then it kind of did the start of these Assassin's Creed super duper plot twist things that you were just like, what the fuck? And really got me invested in the franchise as a whole. And I guess it's kind of the rule of Star Trek games, though, right? That only the even-numbered games are good.
Star Trek films.
Yes, like much like Star Trek films.
Which I disagree with. But
only the even-numbered ones are good, because Assassin's Creed 2 was good. Assassin's Creed 4, from what I've played a bit, is probably the best game I've played in a very long time, I would argue. But Assassin's Creed 3, good game. Has its flaws, though, and I respect its ambition. Brotherhood didn't really do anything new for me. It just kind of felt like an expansion to 2.
Yeah.
And then I liked Revelations, but at the same time, it wasn't great. So, like, I didn't like Assassin's Creed 1, liked Assassin's Creed 2. Didn't like Brotherhood, liked Revelations. Mm. Was okay with 3, loved 4. Like, it's gone like that.
Make a chart of that one.
I just need, yeah, I do. I need to make a chart. Once you do your Sonic one, it's all right.
But yes, this was something that happened in Last Generation. You're talking about all these Assassin's Creed games that released. They're releasing one a year.
They were, yeah.
And it's the same with a lot of franchises like Call of Duty, Need for Speed, obviously FIFA. But this was certainly happening.
It's become a thing, isn't it? You know, it's kind of become a thing now that I guess in this day and age, kind of going back to what we were talking about with Gears of War and me playing it a year later, people haven't got so much choice these days. They haven't got the attention span to keep playing a game for a year because the communities just drop off and die because there's new releases all the time. Mm. And as such, I think game makers are afraid that if they don't release a new updated title, that they won't be relevant anymore and maybe they'll be seen as dragging behind the others, which has led to some mediocre games, in my opinion. But
yeah. Well, we're on the subject of third-person action adventures. I just want to mention a few very, very quickly.
Okay.
That I really enjoyed. And actually, maybe Alice, the latest American McGee Alice game.
Yeah, I've heard it's
Is well worth playing.
Okay.
If you want to see a game with a lot of the unique visual identity.
Yeah.
A lot of character. If you enjoy Shadow of the Damned, I think you'll probably enjoy the twisted world of Alice. So I think it's one that maybe got overlooked by a few people, but was really good, actually.
Okay.
Wet and Stranglehold with similar kind of games.
Yeah.
Shooters with an acrobatic flavour, like Bayonetta, perhaps.
Yes.
But both rather well done and still have a handle on their kind of unique acrobatic gun style gameplay, even though they are older titles too. And I think we're on the subject of third person, we can't not mention God of War 3.
A game I have not played it, to be honest.
I like to talk about just briefly God of War 3 because it was an instance where I was like, wow, this is the next generation. If we're talking about next gen games and the kind of technological advances in visuals, God of War 3 would stand out, especially the opening section of that game. I don't know if playing it now, it would. I hope it would still be as impressive as it was.
Yeah,
maybe. But I'd just like to say the PS3 game, that was a defining point in that what that console could achieve, maybe above the Xbox.
A defining point of me going, shit, I really need a PS3, was me moving into my university dorm and on a hangover Sunday in Freshers, playing my friend Tom's copy of Metal Gear Solid 4.
Yes, Metal Gear Solid 4. Wow, again, another flagship title for the PS3.
Definitely, and like I said, it was one of these games that analysed games slightly. It had all of the Kojima craziness that I'd come to expect from a Metal Gear
game. It had a level, and all the Metal Gear games have this, a level of sophistication, apart from Rising, perhaps.
Yeah.
That's a different kind of game. But an amazing sophistication.
But there's a level of polish, too, isn't it?
They're works of art.
Yeah,
and 4, you can especially say that is
Well, it's why there's not been a Metal Gear 5 for so long. And I mean, Ground Zeroes has now got a release date for March, so I kind of look forward to playing that and seeing what it does.
Amazing title there. But there were a couple... actually, can I just mention one that I don't think was very well received, which I rather liked?
Okay.
Star Wars Force Unleashed 2.
I kind of like the first one as well. I don't think it's a brilliant game, but I think it's a solid game.
What 2 did was it refined that combat system.
It did.
And because that was a bit crappy in
Force Well, the first League, game kind clunky, of relied on it. The camera was bad. It's like, hey, isn't this game epicness that didn't really come off? Like, taking 10 minutes to pull a Star Destroyer down from the sky because of clunky mechanics isn't my idea of epic gaming.
No. But I have to say, one of the best looking games last generation. If you try it out, I remember playing the demo of Force Unleashed 2 and thinking, Jesus Christ, you know, the rainy one, and is it Kamino, the clone planet?
Yeah.
And those visuals just blew me out of the water. And also on the level of story, I really got into the story of that game. I thought it was very well written, and I thought the ending of it was actually quite emotional.
I agree, totally.
I'd never had that experience, actually.
Really?
Apart from Shenmue. Perhaps.
Yeah, okay.
But the degree of writing and emotion in the writing was very good. We're talking about third-person action games.
I guess we should talk about third-person open world games.
Yeah, that was where I was going!
Yeah! And I don't mean Crackdown, as much as I liked Crackdown.
Oh yeah, we have to get Crackdown.
But let's be honest, I kind of bought that, as did many people. I'm sure you saw an insurgence of trade-ins once the Halo 3 beta was over.
That's correct. Let's just say that Red Dead Redemption is one of the greatest games of that generation. Let's not overlook Grand Theft Auto 4 for what it did. It was amazing and still is. But 5, I think, has surpassed that. So for me, Red Dead and Grand Theft Auto 5.
You're also forgetting L.A. Noir. L.A. Noir is an accomplished game.
Yes, it was, yeah.
You know, like
Max Payne 3 is an accomplished game.
This is true. Max Payne 3 also is a very good accomplished game.
But in terms of open world, I think Red Dead and GTA 5 are just...
Yeah, I've not played GTA 5, but Red Dead for me is the first open world game where I felt I was in
another world. Of course, it was Cowboys as well.
I love Cowboys. I can't believe, Thomas, you have not seen Sergio Leone's Spaghetti Western trilogy while we're on the subject of Cowboys. I will have to show you those.
But I have seen 800 Bullets.
Yeah, you have seen 800 Bullets.
But Red Dead, let's just say, wow, what more can we say about Red Dead? But it is one of the defining games this
last generation.
If
you've not played it, play it. Even by the DLC, because the Undead Nightmare Zombie DLC is still great, especially once you've played the game.
It's another phenomenally well-written and well-acted thing.
Emotional game. John Marston's probably one of my favourite video game characters.
Totally agree with you there. Just he's one of the most likeable, coolest characters.
Feels like a real person, and that's something you don't often experience in video games.
Oh, God, I'm getting teary-eyed thinking about that game.
Yeah.
There, of course, there were disappointments in the third-person action genre. Let's just say Resident Evil 6 was a low point for the series.
So was 5. I know you liked it, but we won't.
Okay, we won't get there again. Yeah. And Never Dead, for me, was the most disappointing third-person action game. I was so excited about it.
Yeah, terrible game I had no right to be excited about and should have probably bought. Metal Gear Rising.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
But Batman's great. Batman, we mentioned Batman.
We've not played the latest Batman Arkham Origins, but based
I love Arkham City.
Asylum and City. It was great.
Yeah. That's a game, I mean, this generation, like, there's a few games I've actually played a heck of a lot that, and Arkham City.
Oh my God, there's still so much
we got
to
so
get
much
through.
To talk about. What are we going to say?
I'll just touch briefly on it to get it out of the way. The Rise of the Western RPG with Mass Effect and Dragon Age and even like Skyrim and Oblivion. God, like there's so many Western RPGs this generation. It's just crazy. Like Mass Effect, what it did, like it's the first game that I've remembered that people have been so unhappy with the ending because they've been so emotionally invested in a story that they had to say to BioWare, this is an unjust way to finish this game off. And Dragon Age, I actually prefer Dragon Age to Mass Effect, if I'm being totally honest with you. I don't know what it is, I guess. I perhaps prefer an old school medieval kind of fantasy adventure to space, perhaps. But just some of the writing and some of the characters from that will stick with me. But then again, Mass Effect's character roster was amazing. Garrus, probably one of my favourite video game characters of all time. Thane was amazing. Morden was amazing. Oh, even Legion. Legion's a robot. Legion's a member of the Geth. And just the level of character in that robot is just more than a lot of games. Main protagonists, even antagonists in that game, are just fantastic. Both of them, BioWare really outdid themselves. I'm really looking forward to Dragon Age 3. Admittedly, Dragon Age 2 didn't do as well as the predecessor, but hey, who can say anything against them trying out something new? And then, obviously, Oblivion I didn't really like, because I'm not that big a fan of Bethesda, but Fallout 3 and Fallout New Vegas are very well-received games too, and from what I've played of Skyrim, they kind of took all the niggles that I had with Oblivion and made a really solid game that's not really about gameplay, but more user experience and you discovering this lived-in world with so much to do that you can just go and do anything you want and be wherever you want to be, in comparison to the JRPG releases this year. I believe we're all a bit stale in this current console generation. I mean, how often have you looked at a Final Fantasy, the series of Final Fantasy, with this such a prestigious lineage of games, and said, well, the MMO is better than the retail title? Like Final Fantasy 13, probably in my eyes, the worst in the series. 13-2 was okay, and I don't hold up much hope for Lightning Returns because it looks like an action adventure, which is not what I want.
God damn it.
Obviously, like the Project Rainfall games as well, Xenoblade Chronicles, The Last Story, and Pandora's Tower also mentioned. I haven't played enough of them, though, to give a justification. But for me, while there was Tales of Xillia and Tales of Graces, there was Lost Odyssey, there was Blue Dragon, Eternal Sonata, and Magna Carta 2 as well, which is a very, very underrated game. But to be honest, like Square's general offerings this generation for me as an RPG fan on a console were a bit lacking. I think they did their best work this time on the handhelds with like Four Heroes of Light and now going into things like Bravely Default on the 3DS. I think that's where they've put most of their stock in the console. Oh, just lacking in the consoles for me, for RPGs. But Ni No Kuni from Level 5, fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, that's my shining pinnacle of JRPGs for this gen is Ni No Kuni, I think. Though, like I said, the Wii games, Last Story, Xenoblade, and Pandora's Tower are all supposed to be very good, and I really need to give them the time they deserve.
Yeah, and of course, another genre which I think found its own this console generation was the return of the platform game.
Yeah, definitely. I mean,
especially the 2D platform game as well.
Yeah, I mean, there's a resurgence of like indies, as we kind of talked about on our last week's show. Just kind of this idea of just like Polytron coming out with Fez. Limbo was a great game. Max and the Magic Marker. You've got just so many good indie games, Tom.
There was a fantastic amount of indie games, and also games from the bigger studios as well that define this last generation. Media Molecule's Little Big Planet was one of the flagship titles for the PlayStation 3 console. Yeah. Little Big Planet 2, my personal favourite. Fantastic game. I loved what they did also with the Move remote there, with the prehistoric moves, and that went on to influence games, I think, like Puppeteer and Rayman Origins.
Yeah, definitely. But I mean, obviously, new Super Mario Brothers on
heavily influenced Origins, I think. And I think without that game and that reinvention of the 2D platformer, that even I say reinvention. It just
went back.
I think
to
it just reminds us how
yeah.
good 2D platformers are, and yeah.
But I mean, there was no shortage of like old gameplay, was there? I mean, like Castle Crashers is essentially like just a modern day Streets
Castle
of
Crashers,
Rage.
I'm glad you mentioned that.
Oh, it's such a good game,
and
man.
Scott Pilgrim as well.
Scott Pilgrim, definitely. I mean, but then there's even like there's other breakaway hits on Xbox Live Marketplace and PSN respectively. Bastion is honestly my favourite downloadable game, if not one, if probably definitely in my top five of last generation. It's a downloadable title.
Yeah.
Just such a charming game with a beautiful world, an action RPG that's just narrated, and just such a clever idea of the narration forming the world around the kid, which is the main character. I'm really looking forward to High Octane, was it? Is the name of the studio? I believe we
I'm
did
not sure,
Bastion.
Actually.
Supergiant Games, that's the boys who created it.
And let's not forget Super Meat Boy.
Oh, Super Meat Boy.
Platforming masterpiece.
Just frustrating, so damn hard, but
so damn
rewarding.
Yeah.
Same with Spelunky, it's why I'm loving Spelunky, because it reminds me of Super Meat Boy, but I can play that portably. Huzzah! But I mean, that's not to say that they weren't games that were more about the experience. Like, you had things like Journey. And Unfinished Swan.
Dyad.
Flower.
Was good.
You know, there was just these cool PSN titles that just kind of brought out something that had kind of been lacking in game for a while. Definitely Rain. There was also then more games like Trials and these kind of just fun mess around titles.
Trials
you
was
could
a
play
huge
too.
Game. Indeed. And fighting games were well represented in this last generation too. We had Street Fighter 4.
We did.
Which became phenomenally successful. Capcom reinvented Street Fighter, well, rejuvenated it for the next generation in a fantastic way. Mortal Kombat came back with a great reboot. Also, we had sequels to Soul Calibur, which I think are great, and I think Soul Calibur 5 is fantastic.
Yeah.
A really fantastic game, and they've kept the quality of that series so high throughout. We had BlazBlue, continuing success of Guilty Gear.
Yeah.
And then most recently Persona 4 Arena.
Which
again,
builds off of BlazBlue.
Building off BlazBlue.
Very much looking forward to the next gen installment of Guilty Gear, actually. It looks very interesting how they've rendered everything fully in 3D now.
Yeah, and it doesn't look like it is.
No, definitely not. It all looks hand-drawn still.
But a beautiful hand-drawn 2D fighter would be King of Fighters 13. I think it was 13?
Yeah, I didn't play
was
much.
Was it 12?
I think both, right?
There was... 12 was a bit poor, bare bones.
Yeah.
But it had this great new visual style, and it was great that they finally got around to redrawing all those characters.
Yeah.
It took them long enough.
It did.
13 is certainly worth playing, though. Also, music games.
Are you not going to mention Dead or Alive?
Dead or Alive, yeah, it continued and it's still fun as ever.
I was going to say a game we've talked about pretty much every podcast since we started recording, but yeah, Dead or Alive 5 is pinnacle for 3D fighters for me.
Really?
Yeah, honestly, I think I don't like 3D fighters, but I really enjoy playing Dead or Alive.
Because Virtual Fight was still good as well. I nearly didn't mention that.
What about Tekken, Tom?
Oh,
what about Tekken
shucks.
Installment? Street Fighter Cross Tekken? Come on.
Yeah, well, that
Drop
was more of Street Fighter 4. But I think Tekken Tag Tournament 2 is immensely enjoyable. My favourite Tekken game was always Tekken Tag.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people's were. I remember that being released on the PS2 and it being such a big deal.
Yeah. Tag 2 really builds upon that, and it uses the Tekken 6 engine to create, I think, the best Tekken game we've seen. And again, it appeared in this last generation.
Yay!
Can I talk about music games now? Can I talk about Rock Band?
Yeah.
Great social experience. I know now people can't get rid of their instruments, but it's still something I love to dip in and out of. I think Beatles Rock Band, especially as a Beatles fan, was a beautiful tribute to the band in using that great Rock Band mechanic.
Do you know, like when you've seen films, like if you see something on the 80s, everyone will have a Rubik's Cube and a Walkman?
Yeah.
I think kind of like Rock Band will be like the pinnacle of 2000s era. I think it was one of the big things of this console. Obviously, we'd had Guitar Hero before that on the PS2.
Which continued. I mean, Guitar Hero continued all through, but I think Rock Band really defined it.
Yeah, definitely. I think you couldn't really go anywhere once you'd brought the whole band
in. It introduced the concept of the band.
Of playing together with friends as opposed to just being a guy in your house strumming guitar.
Although when Guitar Hero did eventually follow suit and release World Tour, I did enjoy that drum kit more with the cymbals built in.
Yeah.
But I said I'd just use that for Rock Band anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Rock Band 3.
Beautiful. Oh. But like, you know,
as you can tell, this last generation, we're struggling to talk about all the great games that were released.
And we're not even really, like...
We've not even really touched upon what Nintendo achieved with the Wii and some of those...
Beat the Beat music game.
I like how you mentioned that before any of the Mario Galaxy titles.
Yeah, I haven't played any of the Mario Galaxy titles. I know I should
have. Beat the Beat.
Beat the Beat, boy.
Of course, it wasn't the only game that was... we've mentioned Wii Sports already in Wii Sports Resort and Wii Party. All great games which you can whip out any social occasion and guarantee fun.
Have some jollies.
The Raven Rabbit series also was immensely popular. For me, as a multiplayer game, I appreciate it, but I'd always go back to something like WarioWare Smooth Moves.
Yeah.
But Rabbids Go Home, the 3D platform adventure...
I never played that.
Game is well worth playing. Yeah, it's very good.
I never heard anyone talk about that, to be honest.
Oh, well, I think they should go back and revisit that one.
Speaking of platformers, they're a bit underrated on the Wii. I really like the remake of Boyan's Blob.
Oh, yes. Like, that's
one of my favourite NES games. And like to see it just done so beautifully done, it kind of reminds me of like an American take on a Ghibli film to look at. It's such a good platformer. Such a simple concept brought over from the NES game of feeding a blob jelly beans and then it transforms into things that can help you puzzle around the level. Great times.
Yeah, a beautiful 2D platform. Not the only one on the
Wii.
You had Kirby's Epic Yarn.
Oh.
Still a standout. It's got great gameplay, but such unique visual style.
Definitely. And I mean, one they're going to replicate now with the Yoshi game, right, on the Wii U.
Yeah, it's...
But I don't think it'll touch on Kirby's Epic Yarn.
So the ideas, how they integrated the gameplay with the visuals was fantastic. Also, I think it's probably worth mentioning that Wario Land Shake Dimension looked beautiful. I don't know if you've ever played that one.
I never played it. I've always been curious. To be honest, I didn't even realise you had it until I saw it earlier. So I'm going to have to give that a go.
It's one that probably gets overlooked, but it was another great-looking 2D platformer on the Wii. The Wii's great for these. I think that's probably why it became my favourite console. It was my only console for a long time.
Yeah.
But what was keeping me going with the Wii and not making me want to buy the other ones were games like the ones I've been mentioning. And later on, Donkey Kong Country Returns.
Definitely.
Further brought home.
Solid game.
Yeah, and I was playing Rayman Origins on it as well.
To be honest, tell you what kept me off of my Wii, like in the later times when things like Donkey Kong came out. Achievements.
Oh, you were big into achievements. We cannot mention this console generation without talking about
achievements. Big into achievements. Like, what the fuck is achievements done to gaming, Tom? It's good and bad, I think. It's a double edged
sword. We feel like we need them. We want them now.
We want gratification for playing games.
Why? What's happening?
Surely the game should be enough. Why do I need to kill 501 enemies?
We want to share. We want to show our friends this sharing thing, which are really building upon this current generation.
Yeah,
became
exactly.
Huge this last generation.
Like, to be honest, I think it was because I had the Xbox so long and it had already been introduced. I never really got into trophies as much as I did with achievements.
No, they don't seem as big of an achievement.
No.
Even though they're the same.
It's just kind of... Yeah, but like... It's kind of, I think it's because there's an arbitrary point system attached to achievements,
oh,
that and that's
thing.
Why
the,
like
the bronze, the silver,
yeah,
and gold
like
trophies,
you
and
level,
it.
You level up in PS.
I can't say
games.
That
platinum,
well, platining it,
platinuming,
platinuming.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah.
Platinuming
a game, platypus in a game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just doesn't feel the same, right? Like even with the level system thing they've introduced now, like yeah, you're level 5, and it's like oh, I don't care. Like, you don't need to gamify this. I just want an arbitrary number that I can go, ha-ha, mine's bigger than yours.
Yeah.
And then that would do me. Also, to touch on things of like that define this console generation, I also really liked my avatar rather than my Mii in the Wii.
But Nintendo did such a great job of the Miis.
But it was so limiting. Like, I could pay money to wear a t-shirt on my avatar.
Don't remind me of that.
I love that they introduced DLC.
I bought dual lightsabers for my avatar.
Really?
Yeah.
I bought a Gears of War armor for my avatar and a trench coat from Final Fantasy 13 because I thought it looked really cool. And then I played the game and then I never wanted to play it again.
But I made but I had an elf me.
Yeah, I saw Alpha, from that rating thing. Did you also have like Mr. T and
It was
crazy
great.
Characters?
The Mii Parade, where you, I think it was the Parade or was it the? Anyway, you could download other people's creations. I got to grab Mr. Bean and Shaggy from Scooby Doo. Yeah, and a great feature that Nintendo still use now on the Wii U and 3DS is the Mii.
Yeah.
And as you mentioned, Microsoft thought, well, that's a nice idea. It makes our console very friendly.
Introduce avatars.
Let's introduce avatars. And while you can never create an avatar that looks as good as a Mii, I don't think.
No, I don't think so either.
Not without accessories. No. You can never make a good likeness.
No. I think mine kind of looks like me. I don't know. Probably not, actually.
It's not as good as a Mii, you could.
It's not as good as you probably think it is. Like, whereas, like, Miis, you can really capture, like, a character life wins.
Something Sony didn't do, and still got their old little picture avatars.
Well, they got Home. Well, they just got a picture of you now,
yeah,
haven't they?
Yeah, I guess that was a attempt.
Yeah, it never really took off, right? I never really played it.
No, neither did I.
I don't even think I installed it. Oh, no, I did. I tell a lie. I made a woman and went in there and just got, like, followed by about 20 blokes, and then I never played it again. Just for giggles.
Yeah.
Just because I cheered that would happen, so I did.
Home was an interesting but incredibly limited experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, something they've decided not to bring back on the PS4.
No, surprisingly. Well, it's just like it's real world interaction. I was all linked by Facebook, and how weird would that be if like Facebook collapses in the next like 2 or 3 years? Like, that is like a core feature of like your profile on these things.
Do you think that happened to Facebook?
I don't know. Like, people
go the way of MySpace.
Apparently, people are waning in interest in Facebook. So we'll see. Yeah, that's what I've viewed.
I think a couple of genres we haven't touched. We haven't touched on the puzzle genre. But let's just say Peggle.
Catherine.
Oh yes.
God damn, Catherine's a good game. That's definitely one of my top five of the last generation.
And there are plenty of others. I can't quite think now. Well, we've written down a few, but namely Catherine and Peggle.
Yeah.
And this piece of paper.
I don't care. I like Catherine. Portal, I guess, also falls under the category, but we also talked about it already.
I mean, there's puzzle elements to a lot of the platformers, like Braid and Limbo as well. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
I wanted to think about these things.
I wanted to touch on Braid earlier, but I forgot. Also another great platformer, indie platformer, Thomas is Alone, but we talked about that on our award show last week, so I shan't delve into it.
And I know Matt's not a player of this genre, but I think Last Generation brought some fresh new racing experiences.
I believe it did.
As well as great sequels to Forza and Project Gotham Racing, which should never be forgotten. We also had MotorStorm, off-road, beautiful visceral gaming, showcased PS3's abilities, and my favorite being MotorStorm 2, I think. Split Second did something new in the fact you were treating the explosions, buildings were collapsing around you. Something MotorStorm actually touched on in their third installment, but that's certainly a unique one. Blur was Mario Kart for big boys.
No, it wasn't. It was Full Auto.
Oh, no.
Oh, I love Full Auto.
Blur had more of the playability, I think, than Full Auto.
Oh, I like Full Auto. It's the only racing game I've ever bought, I think. Other than Wipeout.
And also, we have to mention that Bizarre Creations, we lost them last generation.
We lost Studio Liverpool behind Wipeout as well.
We've mentioned them before. Free Radical, the least memorable name of any developer.
I'd argue we also lost Rare last generation.
Oh, well, yeah, it's debatable. But yes, we did lose Rare.
Avatar Games. Nintendo. Yay! That's what I want from them.
Rare. Just think of a generation where Rare was still developing the games
that
the kind of games
3D.
They were developing back in the day of Super Nintendo on the N64.
Yeah.
But that's, well, we mentioned racing games. I'm going to mention my standout racing game of the last generation.
Drum roll!
Burnout Paradise.
Ooh. I can't comment. I don't play racing games.
I think what it did was it enabled racing games to go somewhere in the future.
Yeah.
Having an open world racing game where was fully online enabled as well. You could race around in a city with your friends.
Yeah.
For those who've played it, you know what I'm talking about. And Criterion developers have used the same mold for their most recent Need for Speed games as well. So it just proves how breakthrough Paradise was at the time.
Yeah. Correct.
Of course, I was still playing Mario Kart as well as last generation.
Yeah, of course.
And
the old favourites are still there.
It will never die. What I missed out this last generation, though, which I hope will appear this time, is a downloadable version of Micro Machines.
Yeah, that'd be nice. A Micro Machines game would be great. I don't know. Maybe a new Pod Racer game, Tom, for you.
Oh, yeah.
Episode 7 Pod Racers, who knows?
I hope so.
Yeah, I think we should mention maybe quickly the Quantic Dream games as well.
Oh, yeah.
Heavy Rain and Beyond Two Souls. Haven't played Beyond Two Souls as much as I'd like. I've only played the demo.
I've only played Fahrenheit.
Really? I love Heavy Rain. Heavy Rain is a good game / gameplay cinematic experience because it's not a lot really you're doing in terms of like a traditional game other than pressing buttons. Actually, a strict decline in quick time events I noticed as this console generation went on.
When it was...
God, you remember when it started? It was everywhere.
A great one of that was Ninja Blade, I think it was.
Yeah.
That had an awful
lot. Darksiders by THQ also had an awful lot of them, as well as stealing every good gameplay mechanic from every other game ever made.
There's so many, if we're talking about quick time events, I mean, God of War had its fair share as well.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Quick time events. Being kept alive by games like Rise.
Yeah, hammering E.
But yeah, quick time events. They're another defining thing with us.
I think they
generation.
Are.
Thanks, Shenmue, for that, I guess.
I guess so.
Well, yeah. Bringing it more to the mainstream.
I guess so. And on that somber note.
Oh, we can't say leave it
quick
there.
Quick time events.
This definitely hasn't been a quick time event, this
podcast. It hasn't.
Podcast.
It's been an anthology episode again. Like last week's, but it's a lot to talk about, you know. Nine years, Tom.
In what? How long is this podcast?
Hour and a bit.
Excuse us if we've, rambled on.
Well, I think we've crammed a lot into this. I mean, hopefully we've kind of, before people go into this new console generation,
they
and while
listen to our podcast,
they hear about these games that perhaps are now starting to go cheap, perhaps. Game will be doing January sales where these games are ludicrously cheap, but you can pick them up. Perhaps they'll be on eBay for like £2 or £3 where people start funding their Xbox One or PS4 purchases. You never know, you may get a chance to play something like Catherine or Shadows of the Damned that you might have missed out on and might really enjoy.
El Shaddai.
God, go buy El Shaddai. Don't care. Pay whatever you need to pay for El Shaddai. It's bloody beautiful. Bloody beautiful.
Last generation was bloody beautiful, and let's see how this new one.
Fingers crossed.
How will it build on this?
I don't know.
It's got a good basis to build on, but there's a lot of things where you have to question how can they better what they've done. Well, this is exciting being a video gamer.
Exactly.
And seeing where gaming will go to next
seeing
with the new
progressions
hardware.
Progressions of genres.
As long as
generation goes on as well, is also fantastic.
I think there's some great ideas being thrown around right now.
I think there is.
So,
I think while indies are still pushing interesting directions with their games, and obviously AAAs are becoming better at what they do as well. I mean, obviously there's probably a lot of fantastic sports games in the last gen. I don't know, neither of us really play them. Like, I've played the NHL games, but I doubt anyone really wants to hear me babble about NHL. I know you've played WWE.
All Stars was fantastic.
It's a great wrestling game.
I hate the other race.
I love how you went to sports and you were like, wrestling, yeah!
Yeah, that's the best one. All Stars was insanely playable, old school.
But, like, I mean, even if you look at something a bit closer to home for us, like the progression of the Lego games, starting at the Lego Star Wars... the original saga, and then going into something now like Lego Marvel, like they've come a long way. It was just
and they've managed to keep reasonably fresh. I know now we're starting to feel like perhaps I don't know, Tom.
Yeah. 9 years of kind of doing a similar game.
More of Lego City Undercover.
Yeah, more of Lego City Undercover, pushing the boundaries. But that's next gen, Tom. That's what you've got to bear in mind.
Yeah, well, that's great. That's where we're at now.
Exactly. And if you'd like to join us in this next gen, maybe you can follow us on Twitter. Tell us what you think of the last console generation at TMAcast. You can like us on Facebook at / Tom and Matt Attack. Go into iTunes, go into Stitcher, go to our website, tomandmattattack.com/podcast, and give past episodes of this a listen if that's the last thing you've done.
Yeah. And thank God we don't have to do this again for another 9 years.
Exactly. Amen to that. Until these next 9 years are over, I guess, game on with the new console generation.
Game on.
Happy New Year, guys. See you in January. Bye.